Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, I wanted to make just a couple comments about the idea of the election yesterday, specifically among believers and then also among the Reformed believers as well. I was mentioning early on that, I just hear a lot of statements from my Reformed friends. I am Reformed in my theology, and I believe in Reformed theology. I think that's the system of theology that most accurately reflects what we find in the Word of God. So it deals, of course, ultimately with the glory of God. It deals with the sovereignty of God, that God is sovereign over all these things that take place. And So I really love and embrace Reformed theology and all of these different aspects of Reformed theology. One of the areas, though, that I find a little bit interesting is the way that many of the folks in Reformed theology view politics. They have this disdain for political things. I saw it yesterday where people were talking about feeling dirty after voting. I saw it long before yesterday, just as we would discuss or post about different political things on our social media sites. And, of course, because being Reformed in my theology, a lot of the friends that I follow and they follow me on these different sites are Reformed as well. And a lot of times when they go to post something, if it has something to do with politics, they always preface their statements with some sort of a statement like, I don't normally post anything about politics, but, and then they'll give this, this particular item stood out to me, and I just think that we need to say something about that. And I've always, when I saw that, I was always concerned a little bit about that type of statement. I think that it shows, really poor theology on the issue of the role that politics plays in our life. Do you know that John Calvin, when you think about Reformed theology, Calvin is kind of like, it would be like in GOP politics where you'd mention Ronald Reagan. when you mention John Calvin among Reformed theologians, you're talking about the pinnacle of Reformed theology among men and among men outside of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament scriptures, I would say. But Calvin himself said that to be a minister, a civil minister or magistrate in Geneva, was the highest calling of God. He felt it to be the highest calling of God. Boy, that is completely different from what we hear today in so many of Reformed circles. They just kind of have taken a complete hands-off approach to the idea of politics. And I think part of that is because of what has taken place in politics up until this point. One of the things that they will refer to is the way that the moral majority under Jerry Falwell seemed to become, a wing of the Republican Party. And so that's one thing that they are very leery of. They don't want the church to, basically be a wing of one party over the other. So a way of getting away from that is, one thing is they completely withdraw from the political process and don't have anything to do with that. And what they will often say, again, with these preface statements before making any sort of a political point whatsoever, they will say, well, I'm not for one party or another. I think that that's, a completely ridiculous statement. The idea being that both there's no distinction between the two parties at all. That's just not true. The platform in one of the parties is a pro-life platform to begin with, and it more of a pro-family and pro-marriage and so forth platform. The other platform is completely against those ideas. So much so that we saw it kind of play out a number of years ago, where the Democratic Party was actually voting the name of God out of their platform. Do you remember that taking place, where they were actually shouting on the floor, take God out on the floor as at their convention, because they didn't want these statements in there. So, you know, I understand that people say, well, you know, sometimes there's very little political distinction between the Republican candidate and the Democratic candidate. And they would say, you know, a lot of these guys look pretty similar on many the ways that they vote and the way that they talk. I understand that. But I'm saying that there is in their in the platform and what the things that the particular party holds for. And I would even say a lot of times with the candidate themselves, there is a marked difference between these two things. You know what they say, that getting involved in politics is, it's messy, and you hear the word dirty associated with it. Well, I would say this. I would say that there are certain institutions that God has ordained. He has ordained the institution of government. And this is the area we're talking about with politics. But he has also instituted ordained the institutions of the family and of the church. And let me tell you, in the family and in the church, there are a lot of messy things that take place in both of those two areas as well. It's not as if any of the spheres that God is, in his infinite wisdom, has ordained for the Christians to be involved in, none of those spheres are pristine. And it isn't as if you get in those spheres and everything is wonderful and there's no sin to be dealt with and there's no difficult decisions to make and so forth. All of those spheres have difficulties associated with them. In the family, for instance, right, we have instruction and correction that needs to be done and confrontation that takes place. And, you know, if you don't understand how messy this can be, I guess you've never had a teenager, right, where you have to go through and deal with the things that they're facing and try to bring the scriptures to light and try to convince them and persuade them of what the scriptures are saying in these different areas. If you think that the church is pristine, I guess you've never been involved in any sort of a meeting that has taken place in the church, or just even involved in somebody's life that is in the church, or never been in a counseling session. It's messy. There are a lot of details. It's not pristine. It's not pretty a lot of times as to what takes place in those environments. And so this idea that, you know, church work and missions and evangelism and giving out the gospel is all clean and pristine, but politics, oh, that's yuck and dirty and Christians shouldn't have any place in it, is just not an accurate picture of any of the spheres that God designs for us to be involved in. Listen, his jurisdiction is over every aspect of the world, so much so that one theologian once said that there is not a rogue molecule in all the universe. You know, there's not any area of the universe, of all of God's creation, that is not to be brought into conformity to the things of God, and that includes politics as well. I think it also betrays, in theology, it betrays a wrong view of the secular and the sacred, you know, a false dichotomy that is there. Now, I just spoke about this past week a little bit in our Sunday sermon that I gave Sunday morning at our morning worship service. But I was speaking about Esau at the end of Hebrews chapter 12. And specifically, the apostle speaks about him as being a profane person. And so I was zeroing in on this idea of what that profanity was there that he was describing. By the way, just before that, it had said spoken about not just profanity, but immorality before that as well. It spoke about fornicator and a profane person. So it lumped together this idea of immortality and profanity together in these two areas. Now, most of the time when people think about profanity, they think about people cursing or, you know, making blasphemous statements. And that's certainly a part of the idea of profanity. But what the word actually conveys is this idea of taking the sacred things lightly. That that you are, you know, it says about Esau, let me put it this way, that he sold his birthright for a morsel of meat. And then at the end of that passage in the Old Testament scripture in Genesis, where it gives us the account of what's taking place there, it says, and in this way, Esau disdained his birthright. In other words, the profanity was seen that he was lightly esteemed the blessings and the benefits that God had given to him that were all encapsulated in this idea that he had the birthright. And so what we're being told to do is not to look with disdain upon the privileges that God has given to us. Well, these privileges that God has given to us in the realm, the sphere of our civil society, is this political process that God, in his mercy and grace, has given to us, especially here in the United States of America, where we actually get the opportunity to vote and we actually have input in what takes place in our country. That's a tremendous blessing that has been bestowed upon us, and we shouldn't disdain that. We shouldn't, you know, look upon that or take that lightly, you know, have a profane sense about that, a vain view of what God has given to us. I think that we should cherish that. It would be the proper Christian expression of it. You know, the Bible tells us to pray for our leaders. Now, you do a little bit of an investigation into the scripture, a little examination, and look for all the things that God refers us to pray about, like pray for one another, or as I'm sure many people in our audience do, that they're praying for their family members and so forth. Along with prayer, there always comes effort on our part as well. For instance, when we're praying in a mission sense, that people would come to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, even as reformed individuals, we don't pray and then walk away and do nothing, but we add effort and put feet to our prayers by then going about and launching missionary efforts in order to bring people to the salvation of Jesus Christ. Well, in the same way, when the scripture tells us to pray for those that are in positions of authority, I think that we should not only exercise lifting them up before the throne of grace, that God would have mercy upon their souls for the negative decisions that they make, but also that he would influence them and bring about good decisions in this life, so that things would go well for the people of God upon the face of the earth and in these in our specific country and so forth, that evil would be restrained and that good would be promoted in our society. But along with that prayer, there are very practical means that should be brought into place as well. Now, this gets down to great nuance when we get involved in this. This gets down to, you know, making phone calls to your elected officials. This gets down to putting out signs. This gets down to making contributions sometimes. You know, all of these types of nuances involved in this. And this is what I think that we really need to understand as Christians when we get involved in this. There's nothing inherently dirty about the process. And there is nothing inherently virtuous about you being ignorant of what is taking place in the political process in your country. you know, for you to stand back and say, you know, I'm not going to participate in this because there are evil people participating in it, or because, you know, there's a lot of dishonesty and those types of things associated with it. You are called as a Christian to engage that process and to speak positively about the good parts of what are taking place, to lead by example as to how we should be involved in this process, to speak against those things that are negatively happening, to confront them with the scriptures, and to you know, say that this is wrong, what is taking place, and this is the right way to go about dealing with it. And this is exactly what we find in the Word of God. I think it's pretty remarkable when we look in the Word of God just how many people were actually involved in the civil government during that time. I just was listening, I think it was to David Jeremiah, who comes on just before this broadcast. And it wasn't today, but one of the days when I was coming in here just recently, he was on Christian Talk 660 here. And I just caught just a brief moment of it, but he made this statement. He was saying that, notice that Joseph was referred to as the prime minister of Egypt. Now, this is of Egypt. You want to talk about an ungodly area. You know, you want to talk about, you know, idolatry and a messy, dirty process, right? Here's Joseph, ordained by God to be the prime minister there. And of course, Joseph, under the hand of God, does this remarkable job on doing this. But it isn't just with Daniel. I mean, with Joseph, but we find it with Daniel. We find it with other individuals in the scriptures. In fact, quite a few we find are actually involved in the process. We get to the New Testament scripture, we find John the Baptist speaking about that it was wrong for the leader that was there in that area to have his brother's wife. You know, was it Herod, right? Herod to have his brother's wife. And so here he is speaking about something that is taking place in the political, one of the political leaders, and what he is doing in that political realm. You know, in many other cases, of course, we find throughout the scriptures. And so, since this is the case as to what we find there, I think that when we turn to the Word of God, we can see very clearly that the believer should be involved in this, and that there is no virtue in washing your hands of the whole process and pretending like, you know, this doesn't have anything to do with you, and taking some sort of a sanctimonious attitude that, well, I don't get involved in those types of things that are taking place. The Lord knew that this area that he ordained would be an area that was run by men. And whenever men are involved, it's always going to be, I mean, mankind, by the way, so, you know, feminists don't grab hold on that. But I would say that whenever men are involved in the process, it is always going to involve some level of sin. There's remaining sin in us and so forth. People like to say this, you know, that are very sanctimonious about not being involved. Well, it's just a decision between the lesser of two evils. To which I would like to respond with that a theological term that really speaks volumes. I would say, duh. You know, of course it does. Of course it involves, any time it involves men, it is always involving the lesser of two evils, because there is still evil in men's heart. If you're waiting for a perfect individual to come along in order to be voted into office, you're going to be waiting until we get to heaven, because there are no perfect individuals here upon the face of the earth. So whoever you vote for is always going to be not perfect, and still going to have remaining sin and so forth in their life that needs to be dealt with. Hey, I'm floored by the idea that, and I just mentioned this at our evening service over at Shepherd's Care Assisted Living Facility, I am floored with the idea that God has not only saved our never-dying souls, but that he has now put us into the ministry, and that includes all of us. I'm not talking about just ministers themselves, but he has put us into the ministry of reconciliation. So much so that if this term wasn't used in the scripture itself to describe us, I would think it was blasphemous to take it upon my own lips or coming from my own mind. But he says this, that we are co-laborers together with him in the ministry of reconciliation. So you say, well, wait a second, doesn't the Lord know that we are clay pots, that there is much remaining sin in us? Yes, he does know that. And I was saying the other day in that sermon at Shepherd's Care, I was saying that he could choose an angel to do this job. He could get an angel. They wouldn't have a raspy voice like mine. You know, they wouldn't lose their train of thought like I do. They wouldn't, forget to mention pertinent scriptures that are involved in what I'm talking about and so forth, like I often do and so forth in these passages. They would be able, the holy angels would be able to articulate these things in this much more eloquent way than I could ever hope to do it here upon the face of the earth. And yet, God in his infinite wisdom has ordained for men to do this work, the work of the gospel message. I think that is just, and I reserve this word for only the things related to God now, but I think that that's awesome. You know, I stopped using the word awesome now to talk about food or, you know, a hot dog or, you know, a cupcake or something. You know, I try to bring this word back to where it was originally used. It is awe-inspiring of Almighty God. He is so gracious that he has bestowed upon us that we should be involved in this work. The work that we're involved in the political realm, then, is the work of promoting that which is good and restraining that which is evil. I want to be involved in that work. Why would I relegate that work to people that are outside the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to people that don't know Christ? Why would I say that only they should be involved in that? That doesn't even make sense. So I rejoice at what took place yesterday, unashamedly. I think that people were voted back into office that were much more consistent with what I want to do. Not perfectly again, but much more consistent with restraining evil and promoting that which is good. And I don't think I need to apologize for that. I think that's a good thing. And I don't think that we should be less involved. I think we should actually be more involved. And I think we should bring more and more of the Christian view to bear. Now, what we should do is we should do it in a Christian manner. I'm not for the Christians that are out there belligerently speaking about these things, a lot of name-calling and belligerent attitude. I think we should model before the people of the earth how this could be done in a Christian manner. And that doesn't mean that I don't take issue with people or oppose them, strongly oppose them on what they're saying. But there's a way to do it in the right spirit, with the right language, tone, and everything about us. And there's a way not to do it. And I think that we should model the way to do this. By the way, a couple of the things that I think are very important now that the GOP is in charge of Congress. Number one, we were talking about, I think they need to fix the voting process. I think that that should be right up at the top of the list of one of the things that they should do. Number two, I would say that immigration is the most important thing right now. It touches so many different areas. It touches the economy. It touches the very woof and fabric of who we are as a nation. It touches our security. It touches so many different areas. I think that they need to make that the number one thing. They need to stop this idea of the president using executive order to grant amnesty to so many people in this country. Third, I would say that we really need to get extremely serious about the debt. The debt issue in this country is unchristian. It's ungodly. The amount of debt that we have in this country, and I think that there needs to be a serious issue to deal with that. Another issue associated with those things would be Obamacare. I think that that is, some people refer to it as an abomination. Well, I don't know if I go quite that far, but I would say that it is wrong and that it is compelling people to buy a certain product, and then controlling them to that level is not a biblical concept that we find. And I don't think that that is right. And I think we should try to repeal those things that are there. Let me just say that not only in this issue with politics, but in all the things that we look at, we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "You should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.